So, well, as you said, you know, you guys have shown the issue of how bugs are managed at kind of a macro level across the entire division, many, many product units. And then we did a quick bug triage there and looked at seven of literally hundreds or even thousands of issues that get touched every day. And so one of the interesting aspects we have to deal with is the fact that the bug database is really used as a large-scale collaborative database of small work items. And that means that the things that get put into the bug database are bugs in the product, they're work items, they're spec issues, they're localization issues, they are, name some more things.
Test case issues.
Anything that needs attention and needs collaboration, maybe has phases that it goes through, needs to go here, and then change states and go here, and then change states and go there. All these are managed in the bug database. And as a result, there are a couple of things that happen. One, is that we end up with a lot of noise in there, a lot of things that aren't getting attention, things that are in that weird mix of states that where no one is paying attention to them on a daily basis. They don't see that. Their query is filtered in a way that this issue literally hasn't been touched in a year. The other thing that happens, though, is that at the macro level, when all of these product units are status for bug numbers, those numbers still reflect the issues that are falling in between cracks. And so one of the things we want to do is make sure that all of the bugs and all the issues logged in the database have a relatively consistent schema applied to the consistent bar. We talked about severity and priority. There are fields for issue types. There are several different fields that are really important. And so generally speaking, the program management team has kind of responsibility for making sure that the numbers that are being reported and the way that we're tracking our work items, the way we're assessing the overall quality of the product and our trend line toward being able to drop a community release or a partner drop or a beta or an alpha or something, all of those things are heading in the right direction. It's all based on these bug numbers. And so we do spend a lot of time on those. We spend time following up with people outside of our product unit who have ownership of a bug. May fall in our area, but actually depends on a fix from another team. So we have to work with that other team and make sure that they get their fix in to our side relatively quickly or in a time frame that we can, you know, fix our bug and move on. There are many different things. The MSDN feedback bugs, for example, come in. Very confusing set of sort of options about where to place the bug. Is it a Visual Studio Core bug, a VB bug, a VC++ bug? Well, we have all of that and more inside. And so it's always important for us to spend enough time with the bug to really understand where it belongs and get it assigned to the right team and sort of into the right area. And that all happens, you know, as kind of part of the daily triage or bug management process.
Now, the seven bugs we looked at today weren't from the MSDN Track Feedback Center, right?
That's correct.
So, but on an average day, you'll see a few bugs from the center? Or?
Yeah, depending on the area and what's going on, anywhere from, you know, I've seen some days over a weekend, for example. A lot of customers tend to play with the product in their own time, and so weekends are kind of a big time for them to send us a lot of feedback, and so over a weekend we'll get quite a few. Because they come in identified as MSDN feedback bugs, sometimes the feature teams will bash them up and look at them 2 to 3 times a week instead of every day.
Okay.
But yeah, it's been a great thing. It's interesting, too, to see over time how having that transparency about those bug reports will ultimately result in better bugs from our customers. Many customers will file the first bug they see that, you know, the text doesn't align or there's an extra space here or this pixel isn't getting painted. And at some level, that's an important bug and we want to fix that. But the chances that we've already seen that are really good. And by exposing our bug database, customers can actually look at it and say, oh, they already know about this one. I'm going to move on, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to go deeper. We really want our customers to go deeper with it and tell us about the harder bugs or the ones that are really more difficult to find. I mean, we love the suggestions. We appreciate the fact that they're engaged enough to notice these things about the product. And hopefully they'll be able to see that we already know about them, we're working on them, we're going to fix them in the next drop, and maybe continue on, as I said, and go deeper and find us a bug that we wouldn't normally find during testing because they're trying to use the feature in a way that maybe we didn't expect.
Do you think the day's ever going to come when customers are have new badges and are able to get into all of our information, maybe not our source code, but you know, have access to the bug database that you have. Because the bug database hides some things, right? It doesn't show, customers on the outside don't get access to all the bugs, right?
Correct. They don't get access to all the bugs, and there is some information that's filtered out of them internally. And I hope that day comes. I don't know if it ever will. For example, we talked many times about using the MSDN Feedback Center for dog fooders, for other teams and product units inside of the company who are using MS Build or Visual Studio. And I think that's a great idea. I think it's a great way for you know, sort of build a community with people that are actually using the product. On the other side, though, those other teams have different levels of confidentiality associated with their product, and it would not be prudent for them to submit, for example, here's a project that reproduces this problem, and attach that to the bug, or to use some of their own internal, you know, code names or scenarios that cause the bug to show up. And we can't expect them to sign up for the level of filtering or the level of, public disclosure for all of those products. And in general, we want to do that across Microsoft, but there'll always be some things that, for maybe competitive reasons, you know, need to stay internal. And so as this MSDN feedback thing takes off and we hopefully can integrate more tightly, close that loop, or widen the filter between, what's stored in the MSDN feedback database and what we have in our internal one, maybe we'll get to that point. It would be cool. It would be really interesting to get that. And I think it would be terrific for everybody. It's always frustrating when we have to send a bug back to a customer as won't fix, and we simply say, sorry, it doesn't fit in our schedule, or it's too hard to test, it's too late, we don't understand it, and it would be great to have a way to, over time, share more with them so they can kind of see where we're coming from. Not that, you know, we're magic or anything like that, but we do have a hard problem. We have resource constraints, and we have time constraints, and we have strategic constraints, and, you know, working with teams like Longhorn and Avalon who are on other product cycles, working with teams like the Yukon team for SQL Server who are bringing us issues and causing us work. All of those things are part of what make it, or rather factor into how we marshal our resources and get things done. And it would be great if customers could understand that more. And so have, you know, give us better information, maybe help us better prioritize against all of these different things that the average developer division product team, you know, has to deal with.
Yep.
Because we want to make them happy.
Yeah.
I really want to make customers happy. I believe that part of that is having them really understand where we're coming from. Yeah. Not just giving them candy all the time, but having them understand that it's not in their best interest to always get candy. Sometimes you have to eat your greens too.
Yeah.
So.
And it's a tough message to take to people. Yeah. Nobody wants to hear, eat your broccoli. You know?
I know. But at the same time, we really need to understand more about what customers are doing. Not just that they want a certain thing fixed, but it really helps us, particularly as program managers, to understand what they're trying to accomplish. Yeah. What really, at a slightly broader perspective. Because maybe we do have a better way to do it. Or maybe the next time we design this feature, we need to think about that scenario and include support for this thing. I never imagined somebody was going to abuse it this way. Yeah. You know, let's support that abuse. Because we want to design features, not just, you know, put the checkbox here and put the push button there, and when the checkbox is checked, the push button is grayed out. That's all fine, but that's really easy to do. What's really harder is trying to understand the breadth of the different things that customers want to do with the product and design a solution that covers that entire breadth.
Right.
And the more of the kind of real customer scenarios that we have, the more understanding that we have of what people are really trying to do with it, the better we'll do it at designing features in the future versions.